Well, we're going to do some awesome stuff in this place this morning. I believe we've already started, and I believe we've got some good things going on in the future. So if you've got your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 1. Acts, the first chapter. And we are beginning a new teaching series today that the Lord actually impressed me to begin 2023 with several months ago. And He doesn't always do that. Sometimes I get things a couple of weeks in advance, but when we were probably in the fall of last year, the Lord showed me, I want you to really start out 2023 teaching on how to be a witness or how to be witnesses. And I believe a lot of the reason for this is because this is going to coincide with a lot of the things that are going on in the Middle Georgia area in this first quarter. At the end of March, we're actually having a crusade put on by Michael Youssef called Hope for the Heart of Georgia. And part of the responsibility for how well this crusade does is on us. Not just the body of Christ here at High Point, but the body of Christ at every church in this area to invite individuals to come to this, to share your faith with them, and to help them come into the kingdom of God. And I believe God's hand is all in this. I believe there's going to be some awesome stuff that's going to happen through this. So I want us at High Point Church, we're going to be given more information, but I want us at High Point Church to really get involved in this, be a part. It's going to bless the kingdom first. It's going to bless our church. And guess who else it's going to bless? You. Because there is no greater joy than being a soul winner. Amen. How many of you have ever led somebody to the Lord before in your life? Boy, there is nothing that's going to satisfy you, make you more content than when you bring somebody out of the clutches of the kingdom of darkness and open their eyes to the light. So we're going to learn some practical ways in which to do this. And the first thing I really want to say to you today is why this is so important. I believe this is actually something that's not taught enough. This is something that's not emphasized enough. The Great Commission, if you would, of our role and responsibility as the body of Christ to help people come to the knowledge of the truth through evangelism and also calls them to get grounded in the truth through discipleship. This is something I think we need to place more of a premium on in the body of Christ, because in case you haven't noticed it, God's not necessarily in the business of bearing witness of Himself. I figured I'd get that kind of response. If God were witnessing of Himself, don't you think He would appear in the clouds that today at 4 o'clock, God's going to make an introduction of Himself, and He reveals Himself in all of His greatness, glory, and splendor and beauty that we just sang about, so that all would believe on Him? I'm reminded of something that the Lord Jesus Christ told Pastor Robert when he had an experience in heaven, that he went, when he saw the greatness of who God was and the glory of heaven, the first thing he said was, Lord, You need to come with me. People need to know this. You need to share this with people. And the Lord told him, I have come to man, now man must come to Me. Amen. See, Jesus has already come. God's already given us a Bible. The Holy Spirit's already been sent. But you and I are called to be the witnesses of these things. And you are really about the only Bible some people will ever read. You know, there's a lot of people that will never darken the doors of a church that maybe have ever even heard the name of Jesus preached. There actually are people that have not been privileged like us to have these things. But you know what they can be witness of? You, how you live your life, how you present the gospel before them, not in just what you say, but in how you live. Amen? And these are some things we're going to get into, some very good practical stuff to help us be better witnesses than we've ever been before. So how many of you are interested in becoming a better witness than you've ever been before? Well, if you did not raise your hand, you are a prime candidate to come get prayed for at the altar after today's service. Because everybody should have a desire for this to happen. So let's begin in Acts chapter 1. Now, of course, Jesus has been raised from the dead at this point. He appears to His disciples, and the Bible says that for 40 days, in His resurrected form, He began to teach them things that pertain to the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's a long time. How many of you would like to be with Jesus for 40 days, having Him teach you some things? Well, you can. I can. But then in verse 4, notice what it says. And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? Wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. Let's continue reading. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But notice what he says here. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Where? In Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. How many of you know that these words from Jesus to his disciples 2,000 years ago are just as relevant for you and I today? Amen. We are called to be witnesses, not just go witnessing, but to actually be with our everyday life a witness of the things we have experienced in our own life, in our hearts, of who Jesus is, how real he is, how he can change somebody's life. We are called to be witnesses before all these people in our own Jerusalem, in our own Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. And there's a lot of different ways in which we do this, which we'll get into, but the thing I really wanted to lay a foundation of today is there's something that's got to happen first before you're ever going to be a good and effective witness. Let's look at this verse again. Verse 8. But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has what? Come upon you. And then, I would add, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all, in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what came first? Receiving the power of the Holy Spirit in order to be a witness. And the reason I bring this out is because there are a lot of Christians on this planet today that have heard precious little about this person of the Holy Spirit, and their hearts are right, and they desire to fulfill the Great Commission, but they've gotten the cart before the horse in trying to go out and share their faith with people. And there's a certain sense of effectiveness in this. We can be in a practice evangelism and do fairly well. We can be a person that disciples others and do fairly well. But I'm here to tell you today that if you don't have the Holy Spirit having come upon you, your effectiveness in being a witness is going to be really not nearly to the level it should be at. Amen. So we're going to talk a little bit about this person called the Holy Spirit today, who is the power to be a witness. Now go in your Bibles to Luke 24, the end of the Gospel of Luke. And I want to show you something Jesus said concerning the same thing from Luke's perspective. I'm going to tell you, this is a really good way to study your Bible, is to look at different accounts of the same message and really be able to hear the full flavor of what the Holy Spirit's trying to communicate to us. In Luke 24, he says something pretty awesome. Verse 44, we're going to start in. He says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Now look what he goes on to say. Then he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses to these things. But look what he says in verse 49. Behold. Now what's Pastor Trey's definition of the word behold? Check this out. This is some good news. This is something I want you to see. I want you to look at. I want you to pay attention to. I remember when I was a youngster, and you know, I was a pretty bad student when I was in school. I was always getting in trouble. I remember my parents shipped me off to a Christian private school, and I almost got kicked out for demerits because I was always acting up, always acting goofy. I know that's hard for you to believe, but that's actually the way I used to be, Trey BC. But I had this teacher. He was actually a coach on the football team, and his name was Coach Netherly. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He was a big, burly man. I mean, strong man, deep voice. And the way he used to arrest all of us youngsters that were just acting a fool and doing all this kind of stuff was he had in that deep voice, he would say, "Stop, look, and listen." And we were like, "Yes, sir, yes, sir." And we'd get in line. Amen. That's what I believe the Lord's trying to say right here to you. Stop, look, and listen. Make sure you pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. He says, "I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are," what's this word say? "Endued with power from on high." So again, the Lord says here, you're witnesses of all these things, but before I want you to go out and actually do the witnessing, I want to let you know I'm going to send you the promise of my Father, and He's going to come upon you, but I want you to do something first. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Now let me correct some false theology that a lot of people have concerning receiving this person and power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you ever heard from a lot of Pentecostal circles this little saying? And say, "Oh, you just need to go to the altar and you need to tarry, brother. You got to tarry, sister. You need to wait and wait and wait until the Lord endues you with this power." And there's this idea based on a scripture like this that you got to wait to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you how that's not true. What does this verse say? "But tarry in the city of Jerusalem." So if it's scriptural to tarry, it's also scriptural to tarry in Jerusalem. Amen. So I need to be over there waiting if I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit. No, that's not what Jesus was saying. They had to wait for the appointed time. But since that appointed time in Acts chapter 2 where the Holy Spirit was poured out, the Holy Ghost is here. And we're not necessarily waiting all day for the Holy Spirit. He'll come upon you right now while I'm preaching. Amen. And when He comes upon you, things happen. Things get recognized. And guess what the most important thing is? You become a better witness of the Lord. In fact, He says, "But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are," I love this word, "endued." Say endued. "Endued with power from on high." Now, when you look the word "endued" up, it literally describes being clothed with something. Now, if you've studied your New Testament before, you come to find out the Lord has a lot to say. The Holy Spirit inspired a lot of these apostles and the Lord Jesus Himself in a lot of different places to talk about the importance of putting things on and taking things off, like in regards to clothing. You know what I'm talking about? Like the Apostle Paul said, put on humility, put on tender mercies, put on love, and the list goes on and on. And he would tell us to put off and take off the wicked works and acts. What is he talking about when he describes being clothed with something? Well, I look at it this way. Your clothes, I'm so thankful. Let me say this first. I am so thankful that everybody in this place had the wherewithal and the respect to put clothes on before you came to church today. We might have a horrifying worship experience today if everybody's standing around in here in their birthday suit. No, you wear clothes, yes, for yourself so that you won't be ashamed, but you also wear clothes for other people, which leads me into a point that I think it's really important. How you dress, and I'm talking about just from the natural perspective right now, how you dress shows how much you honor and respect the thing you're representing. Amen. I know we live in a society today that basically teaches otherwise and it really just doesn't matter what you do, but I can guarantee you with these people that say that, if they had the president or some king or royal person coming over to their house, they're not going to be wearing their PJs. They're going to be respectful. They're going to clothe themselves in a certain way. Well, what's even more important than what we wear physically is what we wear spiritually. And here's the good news. Every single one of us have chest drawers and closets and all kinds of stuff full of the most beautiful, gorgeous, regal, and expensive clothing of the kingdom of heaven. Did you know that? The Bible talks about that. I was just exhorting us on those things, is that you've got joy in there. You got peace in there. You got the glory of God in there. I mean, on the inside of you, you have got a wardrobe of awesome stuff. But that's not helpful to everybody else around you. Amen. How many of you know, at my house, I can have some of the most awesome clothing, but if I don't ever wear it, you might not ever be blessed by it, right? Well, it's the same way in the kingdom of heaven. People need to see what you've got on the inside of you. And what he's talking about right here is being clothed in a person called the Holy Spirit. There's other scriptures that talk about putting on Jesus. Amen. And what this means is I am putting on in my conduct and in my behavior and in my everyday life the things that are already on the inside of me. Praise God. And this is one of the most effective things you and I have of being a witness. Amen. Like, what do they say? They say that preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Right? How many of you know it's like that with our kids? Right? Our kids, they listen to what you say more than you realize. But do you know what impacts them more than anything? What you do. How you live your life before them. Amen. They're watching that. And see, I think people talk about all the hypocrites that are in the church, and that's what drives people away. I think the biggest problem that we have is what they see in the household. They see us show up at church and praise the Lord, hallelujah. How are you doing, sister so-and-so? God bless you. Love you. And then they go home, and there's none of that terminology coming out of their mouth. In fact, there's some other stuff coming out of their mouth. This is important stuff to being a witness, and if it works this way with our kids, what about the people we work with? What about the people we pass through in the grocery store? These are things we need to be cognizant of and really realize that people are watching us. Amen. So being a witness is even more important than doing the witnessing, because I need to be living my life like this. But this Bible tells me that when I am clothed with the Holy Spirit, I'm being clothed with power from on high. That's awesome. So the Holy Spirit coming upon me and me being clothed in it changes everything. I'll give you another way in which this word was used in, I believe, ancient Greek literature. There was a time when this word endued that was used here was actually used to describe the casting of a spell. So let me illustrate to you kind of what the Holy Spirit can do for you. There was a man, and this man was a shy, meek, timid person that, man, there is no way they could ever stand up in front of people and share their testimony or their faith. And even to go to a person individually and tell them about Jesus, they'd start shaking. They'd feel like a bird slept in their mouth. You know, that dried up thing, man. I'm talking like terrified, petrified. This person goes to a magician of some sort and says, look, I heard that you know how to do some things. You can cast spells and you can help change people into something that they weren't already. I'm a shy, meek, timid person, and I need some boldness. I need some ability to be able to speak and share of the good things that God has done in my life. And the magician looks at him, casts a little enchantment over him, and boom, immediately he's transformed into an emboldened, confident person with power. That's what being endued with power from on high is like. I'm reminded right now, I think it's of 1 Samuel chapter 30, I believe it's chapter 30, where you remember Saul had the Holy Spirit come upon him, talking about King Saul, and the Holy Ghost came upon him, and the Bible makes a point to let us know, and he was changed into a different man. He was a completely different person. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. He'll give you a boldness and a confidence. And I'll tell you why it works this way. You know, Trey B.C., talking about him again, Trey before Christ, for all of you who don't know what I'm talking about. I used to love to go to the bars. I would frequent the bars, and I used to love to do certain drugs and drink certain drinks and do different things. And, you know, I came to learn something about why people like to do these kind of things. Because in a lot of cases, they're not free to be themselves. I remember I was this way. I would never dance in front of anybody sober. But if I had a little few too many drinks in me, I couldn't care less what you were thinking, and I would dance in front of people. It didn't matter to me what you thought. All the inhibitions and the fears were eliminated out of me. Well, I believe that's what happens with the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? Since I stopped drinking the wine of this world, and I drank the wine of another world, when I get filled up with Him, there has been a time where I haven't really cared too much what you guys think, and I'll dance right in front of you, I'll run around the church, and I'll do all kinds of stuff. It's the same thing. Amen? And the good news is, I didn't have to pay for that, and there was no hangover. I mean, we're talking about a win-win right here. And this is what the Holy Spirit will do in our life. In fact, doesn't it say over in that book of Acts that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, that there were people on the street that were hearing them speaking these other tongues, and what did they say? They said, these men are drunk on new wine, right? And Peter got wind of this, and he goes out and says, I love what he said though. He goes, these are not drunk, listen, as you suppose. Why would you say it that way? Because you're making the point, they're drunk all right, just not drunk like you think they're drunk. Because why? Being filled with the Holy Spirit and having Him come upon you and really all that, it will actually produce a lot of the effects of alcohol in your life. Which one of them is what? You become a little more bold. You don't care as much. You'll speak your faith before people, because why? The Holy Spirit's there empowering you and emboldening you to do what you're doing. This is why we need the power to be a witness in our life, the Holy Spirit. In fact, it says over in Ephesians chapter 5, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, meaning it's only going to destroy your life. You know, all these things that people think that's bringing freedom to them is actually bringing them into more bondage. But I love what he says. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in fact, it's actually saying, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why do I need to say that? Because we have a heresy, a false doctrine in the body of Christ, when it comes to these things about being baptized with the Holy Spirit, being full of the Holy Spirit, whatever terminology you might hear. You know what it is? We like to think that because somebody was filled with the Holy Spirit yesterday, that they're filled today. And that's not necessarily true. They might have received the Holy Spirit and He had never left them, but in terms of Him filling you and Him leading you and Him empowering you, that doesn't necessarily continue to be the experience we had in our life. I like to say it this way. Have you ever heard about the preacher that stole all the money from the church and ran away with the church secretary? And what do people say when they hear about this? The Pentecostal preacher ran away with the church secretary, stole all the money of the church, and what will people say? I can't believe he did that. He was Spirit-filled. Well, not that day he wasn't. You don't do things like that when you're Spirit-filled. Amen. When I'm Spirit-filled, there is an empowerment of the Holy Spirit to live above that carnal nature and to live in the fruit of the Holy Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Lord is looking for in us, a continuous experience of the power of God in our life. Amen. So this is what we're talking about, how the Holy Spirit does this in our life. So let's go over to John chapter 16. And I'll begin on this week, probably have to pick back up on it next week. But I want to talk a little bit about this Holy Spirit today and what Jesus said concerning Him. Now any of y'all that know me know, this is one of my favorite things to teach about, the Holy Ghost. I call Him the Holy Most. Amen. He is the most impactful part in my personal life of Christianity. I know that, man, when the Holy Spirit has come upon me and filled me and the times where I'm continuously being filled by Him, He is the only way that I can live above my own carnal nature. I'm a mess in and of myself. I know if I take my foot off the gas and I do things in and of myself, I'm capable of doing some pretty horrendous things. But with the help and power of the Holy Spirit, man, He reminds me of things. He shows me things. He helps me with things. He is the helper. Amen. Now, in John chapter 16, these are Jesus' last words to His disciples. John chapter 14, 15, and 16 was the last message Jesus ever preached to them. So you got to know something. This is really important stuff. You know, it would be like if I were leaving the church and I'm leaving it for somebody else to pastor, well, and I got one last time with them, maybe I got an hour with them, I'm going to give them some pretty important information, things to know in that situation. Well, that's what the Lord's doing here. And in the end of the beginning of chapter 16, look what He says beginning in verse 5. But now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. So Jesus is telling His disciples here, I'm about to leave, but they didn't necessarily care what was going to happen to Him. They were more concerned about, what are we going to do? And so sorrow had filled their heart. But look what Jesus says to them to encourage them. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your, say it with me, advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Oh, praise God. Now, think about this. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. Put yourself in John's shoes. You've been traveling with this man for 3 years. He's pretty much been carrying the load on everything. If it wasn't for Jesus' presence, you probably would have gotten stoned and arrested by the Pharisees. You definitely would have sunk out there on the sea in those couple of instances where the storm came. I mean, they would have been in a bad situation without the Lord, and I guarantee you they knew this. So Jesus is telling His disciples, who obviously knew the importance of the presence of Jesus physically in their life, it's actually more advantageous for you that I leave. Now, I can guarantee you that would be considered a false doctrine alert right there with most people. You're telling me it would be better for me to have the Holy Spirit than to have Jesus. That's what He's saying, and I'll tell you why. Jesus was just a man in a flesh and blood body. He couldn't minister to everybody all the time. He couldn't answer every question all the time. He was limited in how much He was able to be there and provide these things. But He gave us some good news in John 14. He said, but I'm going to give you another helper. Another helper. And the word another there is even more significant to me than the word helper. Helper, parakletos, means one to call alongside of you, to help you and to be your intercessor, your advocate, your strengthener, all of these different things. But the word another is super important because the word that was used for another there was the word to describe another of the exact same kind. My twin, if you would. So the Holy Ghost does and says everything that Jesus did with His disciples. And here's the better news. He lives on the inside of you. So guess what we all have? Our own personal Jesus every day with us to ask questions, to receive strength from. The list goes on and on. The Holy Spirit is there to help us in all that we do, including our witnessing. See, here's a good parallel. Say that we were going to do an evangelistic outreach in this neighborhood, and some one of you gets paired with me. So me and you are going down this one street, and we're knocking on doors and sharing our faith. And, you know, you're with me, and you might be the person that's not that bold to share your faith or whatever. And so pretty much Pastor Trey is the one doing all the talking. And they open the door and I start telling them, you're standing there, this is great, man, we're right here. And then we get done with a couple of houses. And then I say to you, brother, I've actually got to go back to the church for a minute, so I want you to now do it without me here. Some of you guys would freak out. You'd be like, no, 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 I need somebody else there to say something. I need this and that. Well, this is a lot of what the disciples were feeling here. But what Jesus was saying to them is, when you get the Holy Spirit, it's actually better for you when it comes to this witnessing thing. Amen. So what he's saying is, it's to our advantage that Jesus would go to heaven, because now we all got someone that's just like Jesus. The same things he did 2,000 years ago, he'll do for you in your everyday life. He lives in you. He's upon you. He is there to help you. Be a witness for him. And he goes on to say, because if I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. And then notice what he says. And when he has come, what will he do? He will convict. Say convict. Convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He goes on to say, of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So one of the things the Holy Spirit's there to help you and I with is to do what? To help us and do the convicting along with us. Now, why is this so important? Because I've run into far too many Christians that like to play this little role that I call Holy Ghost Junior. You know what I mean by Holy Ghost Junior? Have you ever known a Holy Ghost Junior? This is the person you wouldn't necessarily want to be riding on a long trip with. This isn't somebody you want to go and hang out with. Because why? This person likes to try to play the role of the Holy Spirit by convicting you, trying to evangelize you, trying to fix you, and trying to do all these different things. Listen, don't be Holy Ghost Junior. Nobody likes Holy Ghost Junior. Let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. You just do the witnessing. Now, you hear those words, witness, convict. What is this starting to paint a picture of? A courtroom, right? There's something happening here where there's a witness to something, somebody that needs to be there to kind of prove that something had happened, but then there are the ones that are doing the convicting, and that is not you. That's the judge, his job, right? Well, in this case, the judge is the Holy Ghost. He's the one doing the convicting, but the witness is the one that comes to say what they've seen and what they've experienced and so forth, and through their testimony, a conviction is able to come. So I'm going to tell you, this is how it works. Have you ever noticed that when you get around certain unbelievers, like say maybe you go to work, you didn't even say anything. You didn't even open your mouth. You just walked in the room. And somebody might end up saying, through a conversation after that, don't come in here judging me. I mean, it's happened, right? And you know, I didn't even say anything. I just walked in the room. Well, the Bible actually teaches you a lot why that happens. In fact, I like to say it this way. In the world, you got two different kinds of bugs. You got roaches, and you got moths. And guess what happens? When the light is on, moths are drawn to the light. But have you ever noticed you get up in the middle of the night to go get something out of the refrigerator and you turn the light on in the kitchen? And if there's a roach in there, they run from the light, right? Well, there's people that are a lot like that too, is that the light that's on the inside of you will draw some people, but some people, they are going to hate it. They're going to want to get away from it, like all those religious people with Jesus. And so you got to be prepared for both kinds of people. Amen? But you got to let that light shine. And my point today is, how does that light shine? By the oil you got on the inside of you. The more of that olive oil I've got in me, it continues to let that wick burn and burn and burn brighter and brighter and brighter. So the more full of the Holy Spirit I am, the more the light can come out on the inside of me. And it'll get a negative reaction from some, but it'll get a positive reaction from others. And whether you realize it or not, somehow, some way, people are looking at that light on the inside of you, and it's testifying to something. And hopefully, all of us are letting the good light come out. Amen? Whether it's in your place of business, whether it's in your church, whether it's in the marketplace, wherever it is, people are watching you. They're watching me, how we behave, and things like that. I'll close with this. I remember when I first took over the church here, and I remember I was in my 30s. I don't know how old I was when I became pastor here, but I just know I was in my 30s. And I remember when I came on, one of the inhibitions I had was I was young. And there can be a tendency that when you come into a position of leadership like that or authority and you're a young person, what can happen? Same thing that happened with Timothy. Let no one despise your youth. And I remember I used to think that verse meant something totally different. I used to think that verse meant I'm not to let anybody despise my youth. So if they do it, you correct them. You tell them don't do it. That's not what he was saying. You go look the verse up, because I remember I was taking this before the Lord. You know what the Lord said to me? He said, read that verse again. I went and read it. He said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example in your faith, in your purity, and in all these other good and godly virtues we're supposed to be putting on. So basically what that's saying is, live your life the way a Christian should, and it might not get rid of all the naysayers and the critics, but it will certainly not give any fuel, add any fuel to the fire. And guess what? It works this way in your household. It works this way in your workplace. So us being witnesses, and we're going to learn more about the being part of it in the future weeks, is so vital, church. It's so important. I never want to be the person that drives somebody away because they're seeing me not behave in an appropriate manner. I want to be a person that sees, that people see love and faith and joy. Joy in. I'm telling you, that's one of the worst witnesses to me of Christianity. We go and we tell people about Jesus, blah, 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 and then we look like we've been drinking lemon juice all day. We should be happy. We should be the most happy people on the planet. And people see it and they're like, man, I want that. Amen. To the point where we're wearing all these clothes. I got the love on. I got the joy on. I got the peace on. And then people see what you're wearing, and what do they want? Man, maybe their father will adopt me too, so I can get some nice attire like they've got. It's the number one form of witnessing, is putting on these things the Holy Spirit empowers you to put on. Amen? This is a great way to start out the year, and I think it's something that we're really going to be blessed by as we learn this, and you're going to learn some practical ways of how to share your testimony, and how to walk these things out in your life. So, Judy, if you'll come on up.